Now it's time to say very good morning to Peter. It's Peter Allam from Allam's Attorneys talking to us today about the Community Services Ombuds. Peter, very good morning and welcome on this Monday morning.
Yes, morning Wayne, morning to all our listeners out there. CSOS, a very important thing. A lot of people do not realize what CSOS is about. Capital C, capital S, capital O, capital S, standing for the Community Schemes Ombud Service. And yes, all community schemes in South Africa must register by law. It is the law that registration is compulsory. It's Act 9 of 2011. And it includes our scheme, or not our scheme, it includes all schemes, let me say, where the following is applicable: sectional title development schemes, home or property owners associations, in other words, separate title, share block companies, housing schemes for retired pension persons, and housing cooperatives. So all of those are forced to join CSOS, and there are key registration information that needs to be submitted with the form. So if you're living in a complex, if you're living in a home, if you have a homeowners association, go back to wherever you are and make sure that CSOS is applicable to your scheme. It's mandatory, as I mentioned, regardless of the size or number of units in the scheme. A lot of people say to me, oh, no, we don't have to register. We only need less than 10 homes and that type of thing. No longer such. Since 2017, no matter how big or small you are, be you two or three homes, unfortunately, you have to register. You are normally given 30 days from the date of registration to register. So I suggest that you have a look if you belong to a scheme and get your registration. How do you register? You register by completing the form, I think it's called CS1. Mm-hmm. It's an online form, and you can do it by email or whatever that, you know, you connect up to it on email and do it. There is no registration fee, so you don't have to worry. You're not going to pay a fee. You just have to put in the details and submit that. Governance documents are necessary. They call for them. They ask what you have. So there are a whole lot of questions and answers on the form that comes that you need to fill in and all the rest of it. And your levies are dependent on what you pay as a levy. So the individual units, let's say, that do not exceed 500 Rand per month as a levy payable to the Homeowners Association is exempt from paying CSOS levy. So you've got to disclose to them what your levy is. So the calculation is calculated as the lesser of 40 Rand or 2% of the amount by which the monthly scheme levy exceeds 500 Rand. So it's not expensive. So if your levy is 500 minus 500 multiplied by 2% will mean you'll have a null levy to pay. Okay. If you're over 500, it's that minimal amount, either 40 or 2% of the amount. So it's not an exceptional amount or anything like that. And then, of course, as well, any home or household income that is below 5,500 per month, in other words, if you only earn 5,000 Rand per month in the home, you are entitled to a waiver of the application and adjudication fees, and you don't pay a levy, that is where you are there. So you could be exempt, you know, with the following. That's one, where your levies are 500 Rand or less, and two, where your monthly net household income is less than 5,500 Rand per month. There are also other exceptions. If you receive a SASSA grant, you are also exempt. If you live in mid-care, frail care, or assisted living sectional title unit, you know, you're also exempt over there. You're not liable for levies. And, of course, you can also apply to CSOS for an exemption. That's the nice thing. Even if you do not fall within any of the above categories, but you believe you've got financial woes or financial problems that do not allow you to pay these levies, you can request a waiver from CSOS. You go back online again and explain to them what it is. You'll have to indicate your income and expenditure, proving your financial situation, and indeed you can get an exemption there as well. You know, the application is assessed by the CSOS, by the chief ombud or one of his representatives, and the application for exemption and that will be dealt with and they will revert back to you. So they will take into account the objectives, your personal circumstances. You know, you might be from a indigenous family that cannot afford it, and they will take into account the means test, considering your income and expenditure, your assets, your liabilities, and the like. So it's also not a decision that if they come back and they say to you, we don't believe that you, you know, are applicable for a, or that we do not give you an exemption. It's not the end of the story. You have the right to take it to the High Court as well and can find attorneys that will assist you in that regard where that takes place. So, you know, that's what it is there. A management agent is not compulsory. A lot of people think that you have to have a management agent and they must look after this and do that. That's not necessary. But you do have to submit financial submissions. So it is going to be necessary to make sure that you, you know, you have a independently audited situation with your financials in the homeowners association. In other words, somebody who will give you a report that you can submit annually to them to confirm that everything is in order. And yes, there are a lot of accountants who will do that at a nominal fee, thankfully. So your annual returns and financial statements independently audited are of vital importance. It does also confirm that you need fidelity insurance. So you need to check that your insurance covers that. You know, fraud or dishonesty by your trustees must be covered, by managing agents, by employees, and that type of thing. And over there, your coverage must be equal to the scheme's previous financial year-end reserves. So whatever your reserves are in there, plus 25% of its current operational budget must be the amount that you need cover for. So it does force you to take out fidelity cover. Unfortunately, that is a necessity and needs to be taken into account. The form itself is easy to find online. And, you know, it's a form that you fill in. It gives you the banking details of where you got to pay to and where you need to send that proof of payment to. The form itself, you know, if I go through it and just say for listeners out there, it's general information about the company name, type of scheme, whether you're owners, board of directors, whether it's a mixed scheme, you know, the date it came into effect, and the SIPCA number is necessary if you have a company number, and that type of thing. Your governance documentation is that you need to make sure that your rules, building regulations, constitution, sectional plan, or if you're a company memorandum of incorporation, or you're a share block, your use agreement, that must be submitted with it. So, in other words, you indicate which documents regulate the management of the scheme, and copies of that document must be sent with. The committee, you need to make sure that you've had your annual general meeting, that you have your committee, the names of the members that are serving on your committee. If you're a small scheme with only five people, you might find that everybody participates in the meetings, or you might just have a chairman and one other person. Those names have to be submitted. Those will be the responsible people. So you need the name, ID, contact details, and, of course, the date of appointment. If you have a managing agent, a lot of them have these schemes that manage complexes and that, then you have to put full details of that in there. And then, of course, they do ask you for your financial financials. A financial statement must be attached annually, like I mentioned. You need to get an independent auditor. because the books must be independently audited and a report submitted every year and sent to CSOS. So that's what you need over there. So the financials are very important. You know, everybody needs to have it. The investments and the reserves and everything must be disclosed. And then, of course, 25% of the scheme's operational budget for its current financial year is what the document or the, shall I say, the fidelity insurance will require. They need to disclose where you keep your documents and that, which is quite broad and simple. There's nothing to fear with this. And then, of course, your authorized representative, you've got to nominate one person or company or business or whatever that's responsible. And, you know, to receive the notification from CSOS and notify CSOS annually of what's going on. And your supporting documents, like I mentioned already, you know, you're going to need there your certificate of incorporation if you're a company, constitution, management rules, conduct rules, terms and conditions of the community scheme, if there's anything necessary there, any government documentation, a use agreement, proof of the levies payable, that type of thing. All of that is needed. So you need to fill in the form, submit it, and register. And yes, you may well need to pay penalties if you haven't registered. It was compulsory in 2017. I would suggest, though, that you send it in and register and see what happens. They will communicate with you. As I also mentioned, that if you are exempt, we mentioned all of those different places where exemption takes place. You know, you then need to fill in the form to apply for your exemption and get that sorted. So the most important thing in our chat today is that CSOS is compulsory. It is a statutory requirement. It's a legal obligation that all community schemes, no matter what it be, must register and be a part of it. So let's go back and say, well, what is CSOS? What is the use of it? Why are we registering? You know, that's the main thing over here. So it's there for governance and dispute resolution. It's a situation where it regulates the conduct and provides a cheaper, supposedly faster alternative to court for dispute within schemes. So if anybody has any dispute of any nature, they can take you to CSOS. So if I'm a homeowner and I'm not happy that the committee is not repairing the roads in my complex, for example, but I can lodge a complaint with CSOS to say, you know, these potholes we've paid into a fund and the committee has not sorted it, intervene. And that's what they will do. They will come along, you know, and it's there. They will intervene and they will sort it out. Or if your neighbor's building in front of you and you don't believe he's following the building rules and regulations, you can complain to CSOS and they have the right to hold a formal inquiry and make a decision in that regard. They are not better, or shall I say, they do not surpass the law, however. If your rules and regulations are there and your building rules are there and the building rules in the area for your you know, the municipal building rules are there. They obviously, you know, are the ones that will rule. Not, CSOS cannot come and override a rule, a building rule, for example, and say, okay, you can build 10 meters when it's only allowed to build for six meters, for example, and that type of thing. So they don't have supreme power. They are there as an alternative to settle disputes in accordance with the rules and regulations that you have. That is the very reason why you would have to submit all your documentation in that regard. And it's quite extensive, and they ask in the application, you know, like I mentioned already, you know, you need to give them a list of all your stuff, your constitution, your management rules, your building rules, your conduct rules, your company, your company documents, any governance documentation that you have must be disclosed and sent. You know, and also they will call for copies of title deeds and, you know, share block certificates and things like that where there's a dispute. So they will investigate it correctly. You know, there are people that are the members there are able to mediate, are able to sort out. I mustn't say mediate because they can make a final decision. So they're able, probably, if you use the word, to arbitrate.
Arbitrate.
That way. But it's there, and it's important, and it's something that everybody, unfortunately, has ignored over the years. People believed it wasn't compulsory. People get together in their community and say, no, we're not going to register. We're not going to pay a monthly fee. There are 10 of us in the complex. We're happy and we don't have our disputes. We sort them ourselves. Well, beware, because if they find out that you're not registered, they can come in and intervene. If you, for example, get one person that doesn't agree with you, you might have a happy family of 10 and one gets peed off by somebody, and then you've got trouble. So be careful. It is a compulsory registration, and you need to adhere to that and sort it out properly. So that's basically what we've got over there. As mentioned, it is a scheme. It's there. It's operational, and it's compulsory. So it's a community scheme with an ombudsman that provides services to the community in South Africa. And if you've got any questions on that?
I don't. I think, Peter, you've pretty much summed it up. And to sort of summarize, is it's an ombud to oversee that your homeowners association basically does what they're meant to do, and if they don't, you've got somewhere to go to ask them to intervene and help out.
That's it. That's exactly how we summarize it. It's there for your scheme, for your community scheme, for your gated area, whatever it may be. Wherever you've got a scheme that has a number of homes, you're required to register, and it's there to assist if there is a problem.
Right. Well, it makes sense and pretty straightforward. A first almost knee-jerk reaction would be, oh, no, here's another tax, here's another. But at the end of the day, and I think something that we've covered often is, when everything, and you even alluded to it now a few moments ago, is when everything goes fine, everything is fine. But when things go wrong, that's when things go wrong properly. So you that's pretty much what this ombud will assist in sorting out.
That's exactly it. You summarized it so nicely, because that's exactly what happens. Like I said, you've got a scheme, there are 10 of you in the scheme. Take even a smaller scheme. You've got a scheme where there's 6 flats in a block of flats.
Yeah.
And you don't register. You're close neighbors, you're good neighbors. There's no fighting. Security is covered. Everybody pays their levies. Everybody parks in the right place. Everybody hangs their washing in the right place. But all you need is just a snap and two people fight. And the next minute there's an explosion there. And then if you haven't registered, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah. Because you also then won't
get a fine, you're going to get sorted and that type of thing. So you need to be extremely cautious.
Right.
And make sure that it gets sorted correctly, yeah.
And Peter, if anybody has requirements, maybe they've just realized, oh boy, we need to register. How do they get in touch with Alums? Maybe you can give them guidance. How do you get contacted?
Yes, they can find us at 6 Sansom Road in Berea, the little side street where Pep Stores is in Devra Avenue. Telephone 043-7211-018. Or better still, if you like us on Facebook, just add an S to our surname. It's Allams. The firm is known as Alums. And then go onto Facebook and you'll pick up all our details. You can message us. You can phone through to the office, make an appointment if you have a query. Yes, we're there to help you and certainly will help.
Great. Peter, thank you.
Of course, I can always look on Wild Coast FM as well. Our details are all on your system as well.
Right. And, of course, the chats are going to be on our website later on. Peter, thank you very much. Have a great week, and we'll look forward to chatting next week, Monday.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks, Peter.